and brightest day, in blackest night, all other podcasts tremble in fright. Losers cower before the power. Orange is lust, and blues you can trust. Indigos feel, and white ones heal. Yellow scare, and green ones dare. That sapphire love and black hands glove will rock your foundation without hesitation. Chad and Mars face evil's might. Respect their power, for they'll make you see the light.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chad Bulkelman.
I'm Mark Marble.
And I'm Corwin Kroll.
And this is the Lantern Cast.
Episode 650.
That's right. It's a special one. We got a guest. When was the last time, other than Will, when was the last time we had a guest? Not that Will doesn't count. I just, that was for such a specific thing.
Anniversary, I think. Last time. 600?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, you're not counting Dan? Because Dan would have had something on. If you're not counting Dan, then maybe.
Or Jim.
Yeah. I mean, it probably would have been Corwin when we did one of the movie episodes last year.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
But it's all a blur at this point. That's what happens when you've been doing this thing for us since 2013.
Hey, man.
Oh, God.
There's something to be said for persistence.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
Indomitable will, man. Just see it like a Green Lantern fan.
Do it for the love, not for the money.
Oh, Lord knows. maybe it takes a lot of will and a lot of love for us to do this episode, I suppose, to talk because of how at least passionate I think most of us are about the subject, to just not shoot ourselves with the way things have been going.
Well, you know, one could say it's all about your point of view.
I reckon so.
And speaking of points of view.
Yes. So what are we talking about, Chad?
This is, I believe the name we settled on is the Parallax Paradox. We just wanted to get together because we've been like mentioning it off and on for a little while. Plus, you know, it's 650. We needed an excuse. So it's kind of time to have the conversation about what the hell is going on in the DCU, specifically with regards to Parallax. Because if our count is right, in universe, and I'm not talking about in an alternate universe or anything, in our universe, there are 4 Parallaxes, maybe.
In quotes, perhaps.
Yes.
In quotes. Yes, Parallax Eye, yes. Parallax is Parallax Eye, yes, one of the two.
Yes. There are 4 of them around. In quotes, again, you know, anything is possible. DC could come out tomorrow, or Jeremy Adams, or somebody could hear this episode after it comes out and goes, you know what, hammer down, we'll fix it with one update or something in a future issue, and then just say they all merged into one with this new Timu Parallax, so now it's like all the essences of the original are within and all of it counts, and they could change it tomorrow. It doesn't matter. As of right now, we believe, according to what we have seen on panel, there are 4 Parallaxes in this DC universe.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really think that editorial forgot this? I mean, do you guys think that they actually forgot?
Well, we'll get into it depends on what they forgot.
Okay.
Only because, I mean, I know Chad and I have differing opinions on one of the things we're on one of the 4. So before we get into our major discussion, I'm going to roll through the final 4, if you will, of the who they are. But 2 wild cards I'm going to throw in, 2 honorable mentions, not because they're in our universe at the moment, but anytime somebody wanted them to be, they could be, and they might be down the road. So let's start with the one nearest and dearest in our minds and hearts. That would be Parallax Prime. which is the fear entity that was inside Hal at the end of Emerald Twilight that stayed in him until the events of Green Lantern Rebirth when the Spectre cleaved him out. This is the one that was in Ganthet, the one that was in Kyle, the one that Sinestro made his bitch for all those times. So we know for a fact the last time we 100% know we saw Parallax alive and well as the way we remembered him, and I'm not talking about the change in the art style, I mean as the character that we knew him to be, was in that two-issue crossover between Hal and the Corps and Superman when Parallax was looking for a Superman to be his host to protect him from Sinestro. Now, we will discuss whether, I'm sure in this episode, clearly we'll discuss whether what we just saw in Green Lantern Corps when they refer to this entity as Parallax, whether we think it is Parallax or not. But that could be the most recent sighting of a reconstituted, regrown Parallax, since they told us he died, which makes no sense, but we'll probably get into that, I'm sure, too. But that's the first one, Parallax Prime, related to what I just said and what Chad already said. We have Timu Parallax, which is the Fugazi entity that was created by the other entities on the other side of the Source Wall when either they were lonely and it was like a, you complete me, or out of their fear and anxiety, they just basically, using the term loosely, willed another fear entity into being. Last time we saw him as fully constituted was when he was a husky skeleton on Desolate Stone, being the only one of the entities who actually looked like he truly died. But we know we saw him in the little stasis tubes of Krona, so we know he is being reconstituted like all the other entities. We have Convergence Parallax, who, yes, is the... As horrible as that event was, Convergence, at least Parallax played a major role in it, though he was written like an idiot. But and he had a nice hero moment that they flushed down the toilet when he went back, not that we ever saw it, the greatest story never seen, when Superman, Lois, Supergirl, Flash, and Parallax went back and somehow were able to defeat the Anti-Monitor and prevent the original crisis from Infinite Earths from happening. And he ended up in our universe in towards the back end of the original Robert Venditti book. And the last time we've actually seen him was the story that Chad and I did a few weeks ago in the Emerald Influence episode with Oliver. That was Convergence Parallax.
Which I just wanted to mention about that. I figured that out today because I was reading about Hal shows up again in that book, I think in issue 7. And literally there's a panel where Hal is having a conversation with Ollie saying, I totally forgot that Parallax... that other Parallax is running around. Another thing I got to deal with. it's not obviously not the next one Mark's about to mention. It's Convergence, because Hal only ever saw Convergence Parallax
once. But yes, you're right. No one technically other than us as readers has ever seen this. The final one is the Splinterverse Parallax, who we were introduced to in the 30th anniversary. A special for Zero Hour, in which good old Wave Rider, in the moment that he was merging the reborn universe with the characters that were taken out of time, and he was trying to merge them all together when the timeline caught up to and fit these characters back in seamlessly. Well, in that one instant, it allowed Hal Jordan Parallax to send a piece of himself off to a Splinterverse where, as far as the Splinter part was concerned, it was the only universe, and he thought he was successful in Zero Hour. But since Hal didn't know there was a fear entity inside of him, a piece of the fear entity went with him. And at the end of that storyline, because Kyle's ring was on Hal for a certain period of time, and because Parallax read the writing on the wall, he hitched a ride back to our universe in Kyle's ring, and that piece of Parallax, which was a piece of our Parallax, Parallax Prime, now has made its way back into our universe also. So those are the four. The other two potential wild cards, we still have Zero Hour Parallax, because of the fact that he jumps in time. He jumped and hopped through time, like we saw in Emerald Knights. So anybody who ever really wants to do Zero Hour Parallax again without the Convergence aspect, you could. We don't think they ever will, probably, but they could. And we also have, speaking of the 30th anniversary issue, we do have the Hal Jordan who still looked like Parallax but didn't have the fear entity in him as that universe was crumbling. If we find out that Hal Jordan survived, because he still would have had all the power, the physical raw power of that, whatever power he hadn't used up, let's put it this way, but he would still have this power from absorbing the central power battery and all the other stuff that Zero Hour Parallax did in theory. If he managed to survive the events of that Splinterverse collapsing, we would have a Parallax Hal Jordan by look and by name that would never fear entity in him. But I think that's pretty much where we are.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. So Corwin, you're the guest. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to take this? Where do you want to go with this?
Oof. I mean,
things that bother you, things that don't make any sense to you, or
I think what bothers me the most is, like I was asking the question earlier, if we thought editorial actually forgot about these things, because I feel like there are so many instances where they could have plugged stuff into the story that they're currently telling. There's plenty of opportunities to bring these characters in and make it part of the story instead of now what's going to seem like an aftermath where they just decide, okay, well, they probably should do something with these loose threads. I guess intention, they need better intention, and I don't know if the editors are paying attention or not, or they just let the writers do whatever they want and not help influence or shape the storylines.
I think the biggest issue, and I think you're kind of going down that road, is especially with relation to Timu Parallax and Parallax Prime, it's the fact that if they were going to establish that entities can be reborn anyway, then what was the point of creating another fear entity when Parallax was just going to be reborn anyway? Now, let's move beyond the fact that we all know as readers, there's no reason to believe Parallax ever died because we never saw it. That's not something, at the very least, that should be referenced in some way, shape, or form, and even in some flashback panels of why everybody was so insistent that Parallax was dead when we know as readers that's wrong. But even if he was dead and he was reborn, because the entity were going to find out that entities can be reborn if they get killed, then why would there need to be a fear entity, another one created? What the hell? I mean, because it's not like they told us that the real reason all the other entities created their own fear entity is because without that they were never going to be able to really restore or replenish the emotional reservoir. Well, that would have been an easy enough out, but they didn't do that.
Yeah, I have it in front of me. Kilowog says, that voice, I heard you in the battery on Kurgar. Timu Parallax says, yes, I called, kept you safe. Jessica says, but how? Parallax is dead. The Butcher responds, Parallax is gone. This creature was born out of fear, our fear. And Adara says, as we feared for our existence. So Jessica says Parallax is dead like it's a fact. The Butcher doesn't say she's right or wrong, so it's like the Schrodinger's cat all over again, because he didn't necessarily disprove what Jessica said, but he could have agreed on one, you know, Parallaxian point of view. But it's sloppy. You don't treat Parallax Prime like this. He died off panel. The last time we saw, I think Parallax Prime is the part that pisses me off, because Jessica says he's dead like it's a fact, and then this nebulous response from the Butcher that could mean 50-50 is, either way, it's bad, because the last time we saw Parallax Prime was with the Superman thing, and Superman absorbs him into Sinestro's ring, takes Sinestro's ring, and then in Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, issues like 30 and 31, Hal and Superman meet up for like that freaking Hector Hammond thing that happened a while back. And Superman gives Hal the ring at the start of that and tells him the story of how he absorbed Parallax into this ring. And Hal says, I'll take you on at your word on that part, but Parallax isn't inside this ring. Superman says, that's impossible, I saw it with my own eyes. Hal says, I'm telling you, Parallax isn't here. So the last time we saw Parallax, he was absorbed into the ring and apparently got out somehow or went somewhere else. But he never died. And Parallax Prime shouldn't be treated like an off-panel death. That's a 50-50 toss-up coin flip on whether or not he's alive or not. And I don't know. The other ones have pieces that irritate me, but treating Parallax Prime like this pisses me off.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the crux of all of this, because of the fact that they give us a statement, which we know there have been a lot during the Jeremy run, and even if it goes into the core book, it still kind of comes back to Jeremy. Statements that we know are not true, but they state it as true But there's no supporting evidence for why anybody would believe it, even in their universe and in their reality. Forget about us as readers. Why would they believe it? I think you and I talked about it. There could have been if it was a conversation between Kyle and Sinestro, where Kyle makes the comment that I could always, when I was a White Lantern, whenever I am a White Lantern, I can always feel the entities, and I can't feel Parallax anymore. Or Sinestro making a comment, like, I've always felt it, even when we weren't together, I could feel Parallax too, but I can't feel him anymore. At least that would give some circumstantial evidence of why they might believe Parallax is gone. But there was no logical reason, because we know he's not dead. We know logically he's not dead. Then Jeremy came out and did that interview in which he basically contradicts the thing in their own books by saying, well, I still think he's out there, or he's probably out there somewhere. Then why bother doing the charade? And then we have what we saw in Green Lantern Corps right now, which is where Chad and I think disagree, is that they are literally calling him Parallax. So because they're calling him Parallax, I have to believe this is Parallax in his juvenile state, not as small as Prozolite is and things like that, further along in his reconstitution, because they're calling him Parallax. But as Corwin pointed out, because of editorial and what they seem to know and not know and remember, this could be Timu Parallax, and they're forgetting, and they, we'll just call a new entity Parallax too. So it gets confusing, and it doesn't make it still doesn't show a lot of respect to Parallax Prime, who has a much more relevant place in Green Lantern history than pretty much everybody else when it comes to the entities. Even with the retconning and making Predator and things like that part of the lore, you know, Parallax is much more important overall to the Green Lantern mythos. So yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
I was thinking about the whole reservoir thing, because there could it have built without fear. Even thinking about the whole reservoir thing, Parallax wasn't one of the original entities that even went in there. So did the emotional spectrum get balanced out better, or, you know, get balanced out without him being there as well? I know that's kind of a little bit to the side, but, and then you still have the Rage Seed sitting in Earth, which is, mm-hmm. isn't that supposed to be the rebirth of the Butcher? So,
well, see, again, the Rage Seed is interesting by itself too, because of the fact that obviously it's not necessarily, we don't know that Jeremy forgot that the Rage Seed was there. We just, as a plot point that it existed, he just didn't realize where it was physically planted, as we found out during the interview related to when Sinestro first went red, when he and Hal were fighting on Earth. But obviously, even before they introduced this new concept that the entities can just be reborn, clearly nobody else knew that as far as our lanterns or people like that, because unless this was Atrocitus's attempt to try to basically channel or open a door for the Butcher to come through. But then again, it's not like everybody necessarily knew that the entities were dead. We just knew they were gone, as far as they were trapped on the other side of the source wall. And as far as the point about, well, could they really accomplish what they needed to accomplish without Parallax? That's another question altogether, because I think we've always discussed that sporadically, that there is always an out some way, shape or form for either stuff with the spectrum or another story, just by the fact that there was no yellow. Now, you have the white entity went with them, so you can make this a case the white entity, since it covers the entire spectrum, could have filled in that gap. But okay. Now we find out the white entity basically didn't stay for long and hitched a ride with Kyle to get out. So what did they really do there? That's another – you're right. It's a secondary point, but we have no idea what they actually did when they were trapped.
I guess – so is your point with this core Parallax that we just saw that Timu Parallax really did die – at the end of the Starbreaker Corps, and the baby version we saw in Guy's vision, and then the one that we saw inside of Sora in Corps is Parallax Prime, then why was he baby form?
But he wasn't. I believe the one we see in the stasis tube is Timu Parallax, but the one on Korrigor in Sora, in John, because he's bigger, he's not that small. He's not full size, but he's not as small as, like, I think Prozolite was.
But wasn't he feeding? Wasn't that the whole point?
Yeah, he was. You're right. He was feeding. But the fact that this comes back to all pun intended, the core question. They call him Parallax. So the question is, are they screwing it up because in their mind it's the new fear entity and they are not bright enough to figure out we need to give this thing a different name? Mm. Or is this reinforcing their poorly laid out point that the real Parallax actually did die and he was reborn, and this is him coming back to power, and he's further along in the scale because he died sooner and or reconstituted outside of Krona, you know, not being kept in check by Krona in these little stasis tubes. It is a big problem because we don't know that. It is a contradiction of the fact that they're calling him Parallax, but it could be a paradox because of the fact that there's a circumstantial evidence that could point to him actually being the knockoff that was born on the other side of the source wall.
I'm trying to remember too, but didn't Krona have a bunch of the other entities as well in his
all of them tubes? He had all of them.
All of them, right?
Not the white, but yet all the base entities. That's why.
Right.
Yeah. After again, we were told they all died fighting the Starbreaker Corps in Desolate Stone, even though we never saw anybody truly die except for Timu Parallax, because what Predator just faded away, and we saw nothing about the others. We were just told in the next issue, oh, they were destroyed.
So well, Core 17 came out today, and we haven't talked about it on the show yet. We will later on, guys, in a future episode. But Parallax shows up here.
Still inside Sora?
No, this is a story where Guy somehow goes back in time in a way. And so it doesn't really answer anything, but there is a full grown Parallax. He enters something called the emotional expanse and takes in all of the entities into himself and then like kind of resets times to before the black hole event. So we'll talk about it, but it doesn't answer anything. So,
yeah. And I think didn't they come back as the smaller versions though at the end?
At the end of 17?
Yeah. Wait, are they tiny still?
It's hard to say. I think so. Yeah, they're just sort of in the background, so it's hard to judge their size. But I think you're right. Because in particular, Predator looks like a sort of chibi version of himself.
You mean even smaller than we saw them last time?
No.
No, probably about the same size.
Yeah, probably about the same size, maybe a little bigger. But yeah. They're full grown inside the emotional expanse, which is weird. But yeah.
And there's only one yellow entity inside the expanse?
Yes.
It's a cluster when it comes to this stuff. I mean, they could explain away, and of course, honestly, I don't want Jeremy to be the one doing it because it's too rich a breadcrumb to be laid out that for it not to be put in the hands of either Dan Jurgens and Ron Mars or one or both of them picking up on their own thread from the 0 hour anniversary issue. But you can reconcile two of these Parallaxes because the Splinterverse Parallax was just a piece of Parallax Prime. So these two pieces can come back whole at some point, which, as we've talked about before, which would be interesting because it means that finding out about the Splinterverse means we've never actually seen a full 100% constituted version of Parallax because he was always missing that splinter piece because it was always sent off in another universe. Every time, from the time we first found out there was a fear entity inside Hal and encountered him, that piece of him was already missing because it was in that other universe. So so what that could mean, having these two Parallaxes merge back, that little piece merging back together, would be interesting. As also could be based on the nature of them reconstituting themselves, that you could have two fully grown, two entirely independent. It's almost like the Hydra thing, cutting off a piece and they grow more. You could end up having two Parallaxes that are, instead of merging together, just functioning independently and maybe even are rivals to each other. But the stuff with Parallax Prime and Timu Parallax is problematic because I still don't understand why they needed to do this. Why couldn't they just have wait till they get to, they could have just had Parallax. I'm telling you, they could have just had Parallax show up on like the final splash page of the issue when they took the entities out of the emotional from behind the source wall. And they show up, and once they show up on our side of the universe again, Parallax joins them. And then Parallax joins the fight when they go to Desolate Stone. And then if you want to do all this stuff about having the entities die and come back, you could have just done that. And then there's no need for a second fear entity. Second, because we know there's technically more with the other ones floating around now. But I mean, two in our universe when there only needed to be one.
So is it possible that they've got something planned for GL50? Because it seems every 50th issue, they have a Parallax.
If they remember that. Like, speaking of going back to your own thing, remember Robert Venditti didn't remember that. And let's be honest, A, we don't know if Jeremy's going to last to issue 50, and we don't know how long this stupid Kyle storyline is going to go and what's going to come after it, because we haven't even dealt with the Cronin stuff yet.
It's 15 months. It's a year. I think they can he can possibly hang on for another year.
Well, he could, but the point also is we don't know how long this arc is going to take to finish the Kyle stuff. We don't know when the Cronin stuff is going to end. He's not exactly been succinct in his storytelling, even though ultimately the ultimate irony is the one storyline he didn't drag on too long was the one that could have been the most interesting, which was the Fractured Spectrum storyline until at least got hijacked into the Starbreaker stuff. But that one was much shorter than how it's, you know, but still, we don't want to go off too much on different tangents. But I would like to think, I mean, we kind of suspected there was a Parallax story coming because logically there had to be a reason why on the surface why Parallax didn't join the other entities and why they created this Fugazi other entity, because there was no logical reason to do that, because you knew Parallax, we as readers know Parallax was still out there. So you thought there was a big story coming, and so far, I mean, obviously they did a little bit of with him, you know, whichever one it is. I think it's supposed to be the real one with Sora and with Jon Stewart, but that still isn't much of anything yet. So I don't know. I mean, that's not. But yeah, you would like to think there's a big story brewing somewhere, but I don't know.
Well, and here's another thing. I know I messaged you guys about this like 2 or 3 months ago, but I was going through my issues trying to put together a nice chronological order for my binds, and I realized in GL 28 they showed the stars with the emotional spectrum, and for some reason yellow was the center. I can share the image with you again.
No,
I was wondering if that was a mistake, or
it probably was a mistake. I'm not trying to be cynical, but let's be honest. There's been enough mistakes, like, oh, there's no Star Sapphire battery on OWA, though we're looking right at it. It's like, oh, yeah, but it wasn't lit. But we're looking at it when it's lit at the end, after fake Jon Stewart sacrifices himself. So and they have never even given us any kind of acknowledgement that we effed up, even if it was the art that effed up, just to acknowledge it somehow or do something. But there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of weird things that have been going on. So I would suspect that was more of an artistic error, and somebody just, could it mean something? You're absolutely correct, it could, but who knows, maybe they're setting up for the reign of the Parallaxes, but I wouldn't bet on that either. There's so four of them.
You'd think the easiest one to clean up would be Convergence Parallax, but the problem with that is these damn Green Arrow issues that happened in 2024, so like 2 years ago, but still in this dawn of DC era. So Joshua Williamson has, you know, relative to the entire publication history of this character, has recently told a story about Convergence Parallax. If this Green Arrow reference to Convergence Parallax did not exist, it would be so easy for them to just be like, Convergence Parallax, his hyper timeline, or whatever you want to call Convergence to begin with, and where he came from, got reset with the last reboot, and Superman did ABC. Like, they could easily have just been like, the last universal thing reset something. But we're still in the era of their, again, the dawn of DC. We're still in this dawn, and they recently mentioned him, so there's no way out for them on that one. Timu Parallax dying at the end of the Starbreaker Corps story. And the baby one we're seeing be Prime Parallax could make sense if they try to explain it away as the last time we saw Prime Parallax, he was beaten and you know, basically he was scared of Sinestro, and Sinestro was beating the shit out of him, and he was in a severely weakened state. So he could have been like not necessarily reborn.
Shriveled.
He just shriveled and needing to grow up.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah, you're right. They could do that.
Yeah, but they're not.
No, they won't. And they probably won't, because they would need some knowledge of lore.
Yeah, but yeah, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of stuff that they could do to try and make sense of it. I don't know that they will, especially with Convergence Parallax, because even if Joshua
Williamson recently mentioned it, you know, relatively speaking, if the team over at the Green Lantern side of the equation doesn't remember that, or the teams don't talk to each other or whatever the hell is going on these days, then it doesn't matter. But I just they need to do something about it, because having four potential entities of the same entity out there is a little insane.
Yeah, and even like the fact that the potential confusion that even we are sometimes not immune from or immune to, the idea that, okay, this entity that was created on the other side of this horse wall isn't Parallax, and they acknowledge it's not Parallax, but every time we see a fear entity since, it's being referred to as Parallax, which means what happened to, you know, are we supposed to believe, which again, that would almost be contradicting their own newly minted rules, that somehow Timu Parallax really died on Desolate Stone and was not reborn, and the entity that we saw all along in the stasis tubes was actually Parallax. I mean, there's still either way, it doesn't make sense, but they don't have to. They could continue on doing what they're doing and just making us bang our heads against the wall. But it wouldn't take that much to clean this up, at least, and to do something, if whether they're going to merge them or not, do something. I mean, at least merge. I mean, you literally could merge three of them very easily if you wanted to. You could have Timu Parallax, who really shouldn't have existed anyway, become part of main Parallax. And then whatever you want to do with the Splinterverse Parallax, even if you don't want to bring them all together. But you could very easily certainly bring Parallax Prime and Splinter Parallax and make them one being if you wanted to. But do something. At least acknowledge the problem and do something with it and come up with a story.
Yeah, especially since you're the creative team that recently made it worse.
Yeah. a lot worse. It told us a character was dead that we logically know isn't. And then without any evidence, and then you create a duplicate of that creature just to kill him off anyway. And then we find out, hey, guess what? That it's really, really hard to kill an emotional spectrum entity. Even when you think you do it, they're going to come back. It's like cockroaches. You think you got them all, but they keep coming back.
Jeremy Adams, Morgan Hampton, clean your room.
let's be honest, it's mostly Jeremy. You can't even blame Morgan Hampton, because he is writing his own stories now. But all the breadcrumbs were laid out for already. Yeah, you know, so it's, I don't know.
Morgan is a she, him?
Him.
She, it's him. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's he, him. Yeah.
Okay.
And Core is a good, and Core is the better book right now. So it's just that some of these hiccups are beyond his control, because this was the, when Jeremy was at least co-scripting or co-write, at least he was co-plotting. Even if he wasn't always co-scripting, he was co-plotting in the beginning of that series. But we want to see something with Splinterverse Parallax at some point. I mean, obviously Ron and Dan had an idea. I don't believe this was one of those things where, hey, let's just do it and let somebody else figure it out. I mean, I'm sure they knew where they would like to go with it given the opportunity. But we need something. Something should be done with that. A good story could be told, clearly, with Convergence Parallax. So they also cut him off at the knees ridiculously fast by having the stupid fear entity pop out and make him just like no different than the jagged teeth version of Parallax we saw in Green Lantern Rebirth, when not the classic. I mean, you literally had the classic version of Parallax back, of Hal Jordan Parallax back, to do long before the fear entity was really bubbling to the surface and felt the need to bubble to the surface, and yet they just ruined it almost immediately. So it's almost like you can't really salvage that character at this point. I mean, because you had a perfect out by having him friggin' save the multiverse, and then you kind of like screwed it up. Frustrating.
So if they merge them all, does that affect his power in any kind of way? Does that upset the balance of things? How do you think they should go with that? What direction do you think they should try to take with that then, if that's the case? The merging.
I don't think there's a problem with a uber powerful Parallax. I think they could play it, because they've introduced the idea that the babyfied forms need to feed on emotion to get bigger. So like, it would then stand to reason if more of a given emotion or whatever exists in our universe at a time, one of them, multiple of them, would be
bigger than some of the others, depending on the level of that emotion. We also established that when they died or when they were sent into the source wall, because we saw like Adara losing her feathers and like all of that because of the emotion, the way their energy was being drained. So like, I don't think there could be a problem with having all the aspects merge and giving us an uber powerful Parallax. They'd just also have to deal with that too if they did that, because they have to restore the balance. But it could open up like talk, you know, just because everything is a discussion now in terms of turning it into a story, kind of like, you know, how the problem of AI and everything was recently addressed in Core on story. The you know, mounting fear and paranoia people may have, they could make a story out of that and tie it into the fact that Parallax has been, you know, amplified or something. It's just like, if they do merge them, I think it would have to be more powerful, and they would have to explain that as well.
I think the most logical way to go about this, I mean, we have no attachment to Timu Parallax whatsoever, so it'd be really easy for him to just, maybe because he was an quote-unquote unnatural entity to begin with, because he wasn't just born out of the spectrum to begin with the way the other entities were, though again, you could counter that right off the bat by saying, well, he was born from the emotions of the actual other entity, so he could be arguably more powerful given the choice if he got, you know, reached his full potential. But we have no attachment to Timu Parallax. So if we found out that he was really dead, and this was, and even the guy in the stasis tubes was a reconstituted original Parallax, it's like only the original seven can come back, baby. So like even the Rage Seed, if the Rage Seed ended up getting killed, that he couldn't come back either. If you kind of established a different set of rules.
Or I was gonna say, or you know, maybe the what's it called again? The Convergence Parallax is just more evil, and he'll consume the other one and just be, you know, against everybody else again, just on his own selfish being.
Well, see, with Convergence Parallax, the thing that would be, and we talked about this centuries ago, that it would, in relation to Parallax Prime, because we hadn't seen him in so long, that the last time we saw him, he was petrified of Sinestro. So who would be, right, a better host to deal with Sinestro than Hal Jordan to begin with, which you know, once you go Hal Jordan, you don't go back because he's everybody's favorite host. But the point is that here you have a Parallax Hal Jordan that has a fear entity in him to begin with, and he could have been like a double host, hosting two Parallaxes, because our Parallax Prime could have gone to join Convergence Parallax, so he literally could have had two Parallax entities inside of him. Because of the fact that Convergence Parallax still hated Sinestro with a passion, so it would be the ultimate protection. Like, we're going to double down on this guy. But so you could still technically do that and have, if you could have a combination where the entity itself gets either Parallax absorbs Timu gets wiped out. You could definitely have Splinterverse and Parallax Prime come together again, because they were originally one being to begin with. That would be the easiest thing if you wanted to do that, even if that wasn't the entire original goal of the story. But eventually you do it just to reconcile the fact that there's two and merge them into one. And now we have a more powerful entity that we've ever felt and dealt with in the DCU, because we've never really dealt with the full Parallax, because he was splint. What we dealt with him in the beginning is Zero Hour, but since we never have, because he's always been missing this piece. And then you can still have
the Parallax War.
Yeah, or like it's like kind of half jokingly, the Reign of the Parallaxes. You have four of them. Even though Timu was irrelevant. But you could have the Uber entity go into Convergence Parallax, because I think he talked about like trying to seek the power or whatever he needed or something at the end of the Robert Venditti issue. I thought he said something along those lines. So, and that was, it's not such a waste of a character. I mean, again, you could have, now that he knows there's a fear entity inside of him, which our Hal Jordan never did until literally Green Lantern Rebirth, that you would think that could potentially trigger Hal Jordan trying to get that fear entity out of him, as opposed to just doing it. It's just such a wasted opportunity with Convergence. The problems bother me more with the way they treated Parallax Prime. I'm kind of in line with Chad there, but the wasted potential of Convergence Parallax, the fact that he survived, that you have a version of essentially Zero Hour Parallax that survived, and then actually had his moment of redemption using the Black Widow Blood in the Ledger line, because what he helped do more than wiped out anything that he did in Zero Hour, because that was only one universe that he wiped out at the time, because there was no multiverse, but yet he saved the entire multiverse and all the other all universes that were destroyed in Crisis. He saved all those. So there's no doubt, from a Ledger perspective, he was way in the black at that point.
Here's my thought. And this even still has its own problems. Timu Parallax died at the Castle of Desolate Stone. Okay? Just outright died. Baby Parallax that we saw in Cronus Tube, and then we later saw in Guy's Visions and so on and so forth, is Prime Parallax, but from his weakened state, he was reduced when he disappeared from the ring. Okay, Convergence Parallax has been out there this entire time doing his own thing, setting up for some future standoff. We don't know. He did he talked a bit when he was talking with Ollie in that issue about like how he saw Ollie in the future, and that's where he dragged him from, like the Legion and so on and so forth. Like, so there's pieces of Convergence Parallax own timeline and what he's been up to and doing that he himself has mentioned on panel that we still don't know. So because Timu Parallax is, in this instance I'm bringing up here,
right,
dead, and there's a Splinter Parallax that belongs with the OG who is currently weakened, I see the Splinter Parallax merging with OG to make him more powerful, help him grow up a little bit, but he's still weak enough that Convergence Parallax shows up to absorb him. And I also think we're going to be getting a story, because remember, the Lantern said something, or Hal told the entities, we want nothing to do with you anymore. But through everything that's been going on, they realize how important the entities are. And the entities are apparently vulnerable without a host. I think we're going to be getting a story coming up where the entities have to have hosts. And who's, you mentioned it, who's better to host Parallax and keep him safe than Hal Jordan? So Convergence Parallax ends up absorbing the Splinter and OG, because OG's in a weakened state, and becomes the host of, kind of like when in the New 52, when Sinestro suddenly became a Green Lantern again, and we had the awkwardness of having to work with Sinestro on the team. Parallax, OG Parallax, hosted by a version of Hal Jordan being in the mix and having to work with him.
I think that would be a good story. I guess I'm puzzled by why you think, it sounds like you're saying there would be like an adversarial relationship, but I don't understand why any of the entities would think that. Splinterverse Parallax just came out of a Hal Jordan. He's literally never known another host other than Hal Jordan. So seeking out another Hal Jordan to be a host, especially one that already looks like the one he left behind, would make perfect sense. And we know our Parallax, like I said, once you go Hal Jordan, you don't go back. He loves Hal as a host. So hosting another... The only conflict might be the fact that there could be the clash literally of either three entities inside Hal, or if we assume Splinter merges with Prime before he goes into Hal with the other, you know, and so there's only two Parallaxes entities inside of him. That's the only conflict that I could see, that they're not that the entities themselves might have different goals.
Well, I would say that in my version of the story, they absorb each other. It's not two Parallaxes in Hal Jordan. It is one, you know, one being now.
Oh, so you're saying that the entity that's currently inside Convergence Parallax and our Prime Parallax and the Splinter literally just form one Uber Parallax, and that's the way it's going to stay forever.
Yes.
I could
because
see that.
We really only need one Parallax.
Oh yes, we do. Yes. And considering they can't even tell good stories with him, but we do need him. But
doing Convergence Parallax that way gives you Zero Hour villain Parallax back in a way, not as much having to contend with the fear entity side of it. Maybe almost like a Firestorm thing where where freaking, you know, Ronnie is the body and the person speaking and interacting with people. But the professor is the inside voice that is as important a part of the Matrix as Ronnie is. Same thing with Parallax Hal. He is, you know, kind of driving the ship, but the two are working in tandem together. So it would be a way to get Zero Hour Hal back.
That would be cool. I could live with that.
Now I'm just pitching.
No, but it's a good pitch. This is where, again, it comes down to, you don't know what editorial and what DC editorial wants and what they won't allow. Who knows? That could be part of the reason why we haven't seen Convergence Parallax that much. I think it was Anas who said something, the idea that I think that he was supposed to, the idea originally was Convergence Parallax was going to be involved with Amanda Waller and that storyline, but that kind of got rewritten or modified, that the plans changed. But
what, during Absolute Power?
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't know if he sent me an article to where he got that from, but I know he said that to me, that because he was talking about it was in response to that Emerald Influence episode when we mentioned Convergence Parallax and not having seen him again, or him having not done much. But either way, the point is, here is a character that's just, I mean, hell, I mean, if you want to talk about stuff that would be cool to see, you're right. You could have this Uber Parallax now and doing stuff, and who ends up coming to stop him or helping everybody else stop him? It could be the actual Zero Hour Parallax who realizes you shouldn't be here and you're screwing things up. Get out of my way. But it's just that you have all these fear entities, and like, they're not really using any of them well. And we barely see, and two of them, we barely see any of them other than maybe Parallax Prime now, but we hadn't seen him in forever. So it's like, it's such a treasure trove of potential. And then it's just frustrating because he is the, let's be honest, he is the OG entity here. So, and they just kind of, and it's like, make it clear who's who. That's what's so annoying, is all you need is like a line or two to explain some of this stuff away. You're so good at throwing in lines that don't make any sense, and everybody's going to react to if you're a Green Lantern fan and go, okay, raising your hand in class, I got a question because this makes no sense. But you can give us a line that says, oh, this is why they believe this. Even if it's not true, this is why they believe this. I can't feel Parallax. I've always been able to feel Parallax. And just give us a line. If Timu Parallax is dead and it was supposed to be Parallax in the stasis chamber, then tell us that and tell us why it's that. Because there's no reason we would think that, because you just literally told us Parallax was dead. And before they gave us this rebirth idea why they were alive, necessarily, we saw it. All the entities in Krona's stasis chamber, and the last time we saw the entities, they were all together on Desolate Stone. So why would we not think that was Timu Parallax? So at least give us an explanation, and not, I have a plan. It's like, yeah, Jeremy, you might have a plan, but all your stories take 12 issues, and how about let's get it going a little bit here. You know?
I think our point of all of this, guys, at the end of the day, is for seven uber-powerful, emotional Deus Ex Machina characters to be being treated so callously and carelessly that there's now four of one of them means somebody's not paying attention, and that's a problem. There shouldn't be four of these things, a potential four of these things, depending on how they just explain it all away, if they do eventually. And, we would just like a little bit more care taken with this franchise we love so much. Because you can't just be inventing a Parallax and not deal with the other three that were there before it. Okay? It's not something you just throw out there. It's honestly, I'm sorry, it's not a Green Lantern. You can create a new Green Lantern and a human one, apparently, because they've been doing it for years, anytime you want. And that's easily explained away. You cannot be just creating entities, okay? That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works, but apparently it is.
Do you guys feel like they should have changed the looks of the entities when they were reborn?
No.
Yes.
And I think so. No.
Ooh.
Not if they're gonna have the same name. I guess you could justify it. You could guess. It could be like evolve, their form evolves every time, not like necessarily a Godzilla thing, but maybe. Mm-hmm. But the idea that they kind of keep evolving, and they are Tony Stark in his armor, there's always a new Mark armor, a number. But I'm not 100% against it, But I think it makes sense to have them keep their original form. Though the contradiction to the reason why you would say maybe that you could justify not doing it was the Rage Seed, which was clearly
that's
not
exactly
gonna, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was about to say, is the Rage Seed did not look anything like a calf or a bovine of any kind.
Yeah, it was definitely going to be but again, the justification, I guess, for that is it literally wasn't the Butcher coming back.
Yeah.
Well, this is supposed to be the same entity just being reborn. So that's why I guess I think I'm more prone to keeping them the way they were. And maybe part of it's because we know other than Ion and Parallax, the reality is all the other entities have been given the shaft so much. It would actually be nice to see them around and the way they were originally designed to do something once in a while.
Corwin, does this stuff piss you off as a Yellow Lantern fan, as a fan of Sinestro and everything? it's obviously pisses off us all off because we're Green Lantern fans steeped in the mythology and care about this stuff and so on and so forth. But is there an added wrinkle for you as such a big Yellow Lantern fan?
No, I wouldn't say that, just because like all books, like all franchises, you get your waves and your ups and downs. And sometimes the books can be really, really good. And sometimes you're just waiting for it to pick back up. I will say I do miss when Sinestro had his own book and some of those story arcs that happened then, because how they explored the fair and the other characters they brought in. I forgot even the name of the new guy that he had beside him. I mean, yeah, I miss the glory days when, you know, we had three or four books a month and at least half of them were really good. But the entities overall, I think I am a little disappointed that over the years they've been powered down. They're not to be feared as much as they used to be. You know, it's not as big of a deal when somebody's bonded with one now, because four or five lanterns can deal with him. When back in the day, you know, it was a huge threat to have to fight one of the entities.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yeah, this week I was thinking about the Sinestro book, because I think my thought was, well, we really haven't had a really good, well-written Green Lantern book consistently. And I was going to say since John's left. And then I started thinking, I was like, oh, well, we had the Soul Run and Red Lanterns. And then I said, we had the Sinestro book, which while it existed with Cullen Bunn, was absolutely the best Green Lantern book that we had, even though it wasn't really a Green Lantern book, but it was a Lantern book. But it by far was the best book for like the close to whatever 20 issues that it lasted. That was by far the best book.
There were problems with it, but I would still say the back half of New Guardians was really good too.
Yeah, it was. I like New Guardians overall, even though, yes, it's kind of interesting that book lasted as long as it did, considering it had two entirely different arcs and angles, if you will. You had when they were literally all the representatives of the different cores, and then you had literally the New Guardians palling up with Kyle and Kyle.
Yeah.
But that was pretty well. That was not a bad time when we had all four of those books going.
The Larfleeze run gets no love. The 12 issue Larfleeze.
Shut up.
No. Are you gonna... which is a book at some point we probably still have to do at some point.
Are you gonna mention freaking Collateral Damage next? What else are you gonna start talking about?
Listen. Yeah.
Or what was that? What was that other book? The one that we did for Halloween one year?
Oh, the one that gave birth to the Larfleeze series. Which you're right. I'm trying to think of. Isn't that another one with the C?
I forget. We had that weird lantern. I don't know.
Threshold. Threshold. Yes. Good
you're
one.
Start talking about freaking Threshold again. You're gonna go back there, Corwin. We're already having a bad enough time. You really want to do this to us?
There were some good issues in the Larfleeze series. Not many. But there were some good ones. Ultimately, Larfleeze is just really not. There is a certain amount of interest in him, but he's not an interesting enough character to carry a book.
Yeah. We still never covered those issues.
I said that. I said that's something that we should theoretically we should at some point, as in not saying we will, saying it would be proper to do it. We probably won't.
I vote that we get Jim on and give him a few drinks beforehand.
Oh, kind of like that episode you guys did of JSA. God, I remember that. The episode where you guys had to cover oh, what was that story arc in JSA called when Kingdom, he was wearing that body cast armor? Alan, God, what was that arc? I just remember y'all recorded it. The recording got lost, so you had to record it again, so Jim got drunk.
Drunk, yeah. It was a wonderful time. I don't even remember what it was, but I just remember Jim.
Oh. Dark Things.
Oh, God. Oh, who's that?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our big topic for episode 650. What else have we got tonight?
You got anything, Corwin, before I diverge?
Briefly? No, let's go ahead and diverge. We've had enough Parallax.
You can never have enough Parallax.
Yeah, clearly you can.
You're right. That is a paradox into itself. I guess we can when it's shitty Parallax. So I guess Parallax does not fall into the pizza sex analogy where even when it's bad, it's pretty good. I guess so. That's not true with Parallax. It better be good Parallax or else stay home. Let's do what I've seen, because I actually have two things that I've seen. I did see Masters of the Universe, and I did see Scary Movie. Now, of the two, not that I guess if I had to give a heartfelt recommendation for either, I would have to give it to Masters of the Universe, because I did not find Scary Movie particularly funny. There were a few moments it was funny, but I was kind of disappointed how unfunny, generally speaking, it was. I really thought it would be better than it was. And Masters of the Universe, I have no ties to. As far as the property, it I know of it clearly. I did watch the cartoon a little bit, but much like Transformers, and to a lesser extent, but similar to G.I. Joe, I kind of had aged out at that point. So while I did get the first wave of G.I. Joe figures, that wave, the 3 3/4 figures, I never had a Transformer. I never had a He-Man toy, though I did acknowledge they were pretty cool looking when you always saw them on the shelf. It's like, it's tempting, but I can see why some people, like if you're really, really, really old school, which apparently is the majority of the fan base, because it doesn't seem to be much of a fan base other than the old school, could have issues with it. I thought it was fairly well done, considering. Did they bring some modern day elements in it that they probably didn't need? Yeah, they did. I like Camila Mendes, so I'm going to give her. It's weird seeing her with blue eyes, though. I'm assuming Tila in the cartoon had blue eyes, I'm guessing, but that they changed her eyes, and I'm so used to seeing Camila Mendes with her natural brown eyes, which go with her coloring, which makes no sense anyway, since Idris Elba is her dad. So the odds of her having blue eyes are pretty much not really going to happen. But I guess in Eternia, anything is possible. I thought overall it was entertaining, but like I said, I have no ties to the franchise. But that would be the one of the two that I would recommend. And I'm going to see Double of Tomorrow, Furious, which was not my call. And then seeing,
is it out already?
It opens on Thursday. It starts tomorrow. And I'm seeing Backrooms. So we're doing a double feature tomorrow night. So I'm going to see two. Catch up. Oh, one last thing before I diverge. Related to Backrooms. Not surprisingly, I thought Backrooms dropped like a rock in its second weekend. So that really, really, that was kind of like a one-week wonder, because it dropped close. It dropped like 67%, I think, in weekend two. Unlike Obsession, which continues to hold on. It finally dropped, but it only dropped like 7%, which is friggin' amazing. So, yeah, it had like a $17 million-ish opening. Then it gained in week two, gained in week three, and then finally dropped in week four, but held 93%. And even this weekend, I know, and even this weekend, I think it's still supposed to hold like in the, like something like somewhere like around 80-85%. In the 80% range, I think they're calling for it. It's friggin' amazing. That movie, I think, by the end of this weekend, I think this movie will have already made more than The Mandalorian and Grogu did.
Wow.
I believe.
I Obsession is the next movie I'm going to see. I have been behind on my movie watching since the move and work. And actually, I was going to see Obsession this weekend, but I did not realize that other movie came out this weekend. I thought it was like the 15th, but yeah, my dates are completely off.
Well, more in the time of year where so much stuff comes out that it's kind of hard to, like last week, like I mentioned, I completely zoned out that Scary Movie was coming out the same week as Masters of the Universe, or else I never would have suggested, hey, let's get our tickets for Masters of the Universe in advance, or else I would have picked Scary Movie. So it kind of worked out, because we saw a matinee of Scary Movie on Friday, which was less packed. So it probably was I mean, it would have been cool to see it with a big crowd, but then, but because of that nature of that movie, you have to worry about it being a rowdy crowd and it being kind of obnoxious. Something we did not have to worry about with Masters of the Universe. but that's all I have.
What has Chad seen?
Nothing. I think I still haven't seen Michael yet. I might do that this weekend, depending on if I have time.
I think it's on demand now.
I no, but I want to see it in theaters.
Theaters. Okay.
And other than that, the next movie I'm going to see is Supergirl, which I think aren't tickets on sale now.
Yes, demand sale for like a week or so.
So I can grab tickets to see Supergirl. I was just scrolling through the list of upcoming movies. I think other than that, the next thing I'm going to see after Supergirl is Brand New Day.
Which tickets go on sale next week. As by the time this gets released, tickets will probably go on sale the day after, since I think they announced today it'll be a week from today. So
I saw Fifth Element is getting another theatrical release coming up, I think right before Brand New Day. So I might go see that.
Have to take my youngest to see that. I don't think he's seen it yet.
Fathom Events, I assume, right?
I don't know. I would assume so, but I didn't check.
Sometimes it is hard to tell because sometimes you have re-releases, just re-releases like Jaws and things like that. They're just re-releases. And then other things and that usually will determine whether I'm going to go see it, because I'm not going to be spending that much money to go see something. Yeah, especially if it's something I've seen 1,000 times before, including in the theater. I'm not going to be spending big bucks to go see.
Oh, yeah, definitely like a matinee or something for sure.
Because those things are pricey, even though they're not that much, as we determined last time, depending on the movie, they're not necessarily that much pricier than, let's say, like regular tickets for a first run movie.
Yeah, it comes out July 26th. They're going to put it out there. All right. Anything else, guys?
I don't think so.
All right, Corwin. Well, thanks for joining us. If people want to hear your sultry tones elsewhere.
Earth'sMightiestPodcast.com. We have the EMP podcast, all about the Avengers, EMX, all about the X-Men, and Merc with the podcast, where Deadpool's finally back, so we're starting to do Deadpool. But we are also doing The Last Ronin, the original run. We're starting to cover that in our past division.
How many years have y'all been going now?
15, I think. 2011 is when we first episode. So yeah, about 15 for EMP.
Damn, we're all getting too old for this shit, guys.
Yeah, we definitely need to Riggs and Murtaugh this and ride off into the sunset.
We definitely don't do it for the money.
Yeah. And sometimes we don't do it for the fun, but usually we do it for the fun.
We
do it out of obligation.
I'll retire when you pry this ring off my cold, dead fist.
Let's be honest, Corbin. We know Chad's going to be the hardest one to push out of this place, than you, even more than you and I. We're going to find his rotted corpse holding a microphone if the computer's still on.
We'll bury you with the mic.
Well, people want to reach out to us, Mark. What do they do?
LanternCast@gmail.com. The website is LanternCast.com. You can follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Facebook, #GLCast to track us down. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean. Wherever you listen to us on, please leave us a positive review. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail or a text, 708 Lantern, and let us know what you think.
And don't forget, guys, GL June is still happening. As you hear this, I believe Mosaic Comics, Dan's entry should be out, which would mean then that Emerald Echo is coming up shortly thereafter. So, again, all throughout the month of June, pay attention to those releases and just keep following the Brave and the Bold storyline.
How do you guys pick the order? Do you draw straws?
We let people. This year, certainly, we let Dan pick his part first this time, right?
Yeah.
And then we put it out to everybody else and whoever, and we let them choose. And if there's a conflict, then we would, I guess, mediate or make a decision. But we got our issue just because everybody else picked all the other issues. Nobody seemingly wanted one, so we got one, which was fine for us. It kind of works. It's kind of better that to me to get the first issue or the last issue as opposed to the middle, you know. But
that's true. At least they're all good.
Yes, they are.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.